So let's pray as we come to reflect on God's word. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, to study your word, and to discover what it might say to us. So we ask that we would have open ears, open eyes, and open hearts to discover what you might be saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Deb Stammers, and I used to be a member here in Penrallt. And for the last 3 years, I've been training to be a minister at South Wales Baptist College in Cardiff. And I've just come to the end of my course now. And in September, we're going to be starting a new chapter in our lives. We're moving to Holyhead, and I'm going to be the minister of the English Baptist Church there. But also, hopefully, I'm going to be doing some work alongside that with the Welsh-speaking Baptist churches on Anglesey. So it's all very exciting at the moment. But one of the modules I was studying at college was called Theology of Ministry. And it was basically all about what is a minister? What does it mean to be a minister? Which is quite a good thing to study, really, if you're going to be a minister. It's quite important to know what you're doing. But I just thought it'd be good for us to reflect on that today, because you've just had a new minister here in Penrallt. So the first thing I'm going to do today is ask you a question. What do you think of when you think of a minister? And we're praying for John and his family as they start their ministry here in Penrallt. But what is a minister? What are the kinds of qualities you think of when you think of a minister? What kind of words come into your mind? Maybe a person who's respectable and holy. Maybe somebody that serves. Maybe somebody that's a really good preacher, or someone who's really good at pastoral care and looking out for people. Or do you think of someone with vision and leadership qualities? Now, in the Baptist tradition, we normally use that word, don't we, minister, for the person who kind of leads our church. But if we're in an Anglican context or a Roman Catholic church, we'd probably be talking about priests rather than ministers. And maybe you spotted that word priest or priesthood in the reading we had from 1 Peter chapter 2. So I just want to think for a moment about this idea of priesthood. And it's a really, really important concept in the Bible. So it's good for us to think about what it means. And in the Old Testament, we get a picture of what priesthood is. Now, the priests were people who were kind of specially appointed to be mediators or advocates between God and the people. So a priest in the Old Testament is somebody who represents the people to God by making sacrifices and offerings on behalf of the people, maybe in the temple, speaking blessings over them, and also announcing God's forgiveness to them. So somebody who mediates the love of God and the grace of God to the people. And when you start to look at this idea of priesthood in the Bible, we see this pattern that goes right the way through the Bible. And it's got something to do with being chosen. In the reading we had from 1 Peter, I just want to concentrate at the end of that reading on verse 9, which says this: "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." So we start to see here that priesthood is perhaps not just something for the leaders, but something for everyone, for the whole people of God. Not just for the leaders of the church, but for the whole church, for everyone in the church. So here is the first surprise perhaps for you this morning. You are a priest. Now, the previous minister, Freddie, used to say this quite a lot, actually, when he was in Penrallt. He used to say, "You are a priest. We're all priests." That's what this verse is saying. We, all of us together, the church, are a royal priesthood, a chosen people. Sometimes we might struggle with this idea of election, of being chosen. Sometimes we might think it's not very fair. And in the Bible, we read quite a lot about God choosing people. For example, in the book of Genesis, we read about how God chose Jacob, but not his twin brother Esau.
Why?
If you read the story in the book of Genesis, it's not because Jacob is better than Esau. Actually, they're both not very nice people when you read the story. So why? Why does God choose Joseph, but not his brothers? Sometimes we can feel that God chooses people and it's a bit arbitrary. And even today we sometimes feel like this. Well, why has God chosen me, but he doesn't seem to have chosen my brother or sister or my friend next door? But in the Bible, the idea of being chosen is not primarily about the rights it gives us. It's more about the responsibilities. People in the Bible are chosen with a purpose. They're chosen to bless others. They're chosen to do something. So in the book of Genesis, for example, we read about human beings, humanity being chosen out of all the animals in order to do something, in order to be partners with God in ruling and caring for God's creation. And then we get Abraham and his family, the people of Israel, being chosen in order to bless the whole world. And then God chooses, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, he chooses the tribe of Levi in order to be priests, as we've already spoken about, to look after the worship of Israel, to be in charge of the temple and the sacrificial system. Do you begin to see the pattern here? And then in the New Testament, Jesus chooses the 12. He chooses the 12 disciples to join him in his mission in announcing the kingdom of God drawing near. And then as we read here in 1 Peter, the church is chosen to bless the world by being a royal priesthood, representing Jesus to those around us. If we think a bit about what we do in church, or what you do here at Penrallt, even electronically every Sunday, you're following this pattern of priesthood, of representing God to the world and representing the world to God. So as you worship in praise and song every week, you're doing what it says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You're declaring the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. When you worship together as a church, in a way you're doing it in front of the world as a witness to them, and also on behalf of the world before God, on behalf of the world which has largely forgotten about God. And as you preach from the scriptures every week, as you hear the word read aloud, you're mediating the presence of God and the words of God to the world. As you pray every week, praying for the world, praying for our communities, praying for our society, you're representing the world to God. You're crying out to him on behalf of this world which is broken and hurting and struggling. And we're asking God to have mercy, to forgive, to heal and to save. But of course, being a priest is not just about what you do on Sundays. Some people think that ministers only work on Sundays. Well, I'm sure John could tell you that that is not the case. Anyone who's been a minister will know that it's a way of life. It's not just a job. It's who you are. It's your whole life is being a minister. But you know what I think? That if you call yourself a Christian, if you've been baptized, if you're part of the people of God, then you are a minister. We're all ministers. We're all priests. Our ministry should be a way of life for every single one of us. So in Penrallt, for you, that means you can't just leave everything to John. We can't just leave everything to the people who've been ordained in a formal ceremony. We are all priests. So if you're a Christian, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you are part of a royal priesthood. You are representing God to the world. As it says in Romans chapter 12, it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So you're a priest representing God to the world and offering all of yourself on the altar to God as a living sacrifice. So I just want to bring this home a bit by thinking about, what does this mean in practice? So I just want you to think, where am I going to be tomorrow morning? And every one of us will have a different routine. We'll be in contact with different people in different places. Maybe you'll be working. Maybe you'll be homeschooling your children. Maybe you'll be going to the shop. Maybe you'll be talking to people on the phone or on FaceTime or on Skype. So let's just do a little thought experiment. Imagine that tomorrow morning you are going to Morrison's. What would it mean to walk around Morrison's as a priest? So just imagine it, you are God's representative in Morrison's. How does that affect how you behave, how you treat people? Maybe it makes you kinder, less impatient, more considerate of the people around you, some of whom are probably terrified to be there at all at the moment. How do you treat the person on the till? Do you acknowledge them as a fellow human being for once instead of ignoring them? Perhaps you thank them for what they've been doing to keep us all going during the lockdown. Perhaps as you go around the shop, you pray for the other people around you in the shop. Well, what about this? If you're a priest in Morrison's, maybe it will affect what you buy. Perhaps you'll think a bit more about what's better for God's creation. Maybe you'll buy more local food with fewer food miles, less plastic packaging. Perhaps you'll choose free-range eggs instead of battery-farmed eggs. You know, priesthood, it's not just for Sundays. It's not just about something spiritual or abstract. It's about who we are before God, who we are before the world. And it should affect all our actions and choices. It's a way of life. Now, during my training for the ministry, I've had several conversations about the clothes a minister should wear. It's quite easy for a man because you just wear a suit, don't you? It's a bit more tricky for women. And a few people have asked me, are you going to wear a dog collar? Now, I'm not really a person who particularly likes dressing up, and I don't really like the idea of wearing a dog collar, and not many Baptist ministers actually do. But you know what? I can see the value of it sometimes, because a dog collar says something. It says, I'm a person who is set apart. I represent God. And I'm sure, well, I hope that if you were wearing a dog collar, it would make you think twice about how you behaved. It would make you think twice about doing or saying something that would bring Jesus into disrepute, that would bring the gospel into disrepute or the church into disrepute. It would make you conscious that you were representing God to the people around you. So I just want to finish by giving you all a challenge. It's called the Imaginary Dog Collar Challenge. So what it is this. I want you to walk around this week, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, as though you are wearing an imaginary dog collar. And this is just a game in a way, but the idea of it is to make you think, I am a priest. I am a minister. I am part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I represent God to the world. So how am I going to speak to people? How am I going to behave? And it might mean taking risks. It might mean standing up for someone who's being bullied. It might mean offering to pray for someone. It might mean really listening to someone as they share with us about how they're feeling. It might mean actually talking about God to someone, sharing something of our faith journey or about what God's been teaching us lately. So wearing our imaginary dog collar might mean taking risks. But remember, we are not alone in this. God is at work through the Holy Spirit who lives in us to help us, to lead us, to give us the words to say if we're listening for God's prompting. So what would it look like if every Christian lived our lives like this, as though we were priests, as though we were representatives of Christ on earth? It would look like the answers to our prayers. It would look like God's kingdom coming. It would look like God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. It would look like good news for the poor. It would look like the brokenhearted being comforted, sight for the blind, liberation for the oppressed. Being a minister, being a priest, it's not just for me. It's not just for John Thompson. It's a call for every Christian. So remember this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for choosing us. And yet we acknowledge that with that privilege comes responsibility. And today we want to offer anew our bodies to you as a living sacrifice. Help us to remember wherever we go and whoever we speak to, that we are priests, that we are your representatives. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would empower us to declare the praises of the one who brought us out of the darkness and into your glorious light. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.